accession number 19816, Reel 4.
William Jones, Reel 4.
We knew they were coming because of the gibbons howling, and so as soon as they passed by me and they were shot at on the hill, I had to take my company around to make sure nobody escaped backwards. That was the end of that operation. But of course it needs a great deal of secrecy. We had to cross the river and we had to get there without local people seeing or anybody else who might have informed about our position. The problem was always knowing, not letting the opposition know where we were, what we were doing, but it was very difficult.
And what did you see when the camp was attacked?
Well, we saw they were taken by surprise and they all rushed off, and some of them rushed off into the thick jungle which we couldn't see up. The rest of them rushed off into us, and we shot them down. It was followed by a journey right down the river because we were right near the Siamese border, and it was decided that our return journey should be on bamboo rafts. And the local villages further down, which we were at, made these long bamboo rafts with seats on them, for at least seats for the people who were important, like the company commander, for instance. And we went off down this river with these rafts, and we had an airdrop, and I asked for cinefilm. I had a cinefilm and camera sent, and I got a record of this rafting down the river. Some parts of it were very precipitous and rather dramatic, and we rafted right back to Grik, I think it was, and got home that way.
What was Walter Walker like to work for?
Well, should I say that he and I didn't see eye to eye. He was a very, very difficult man, but he was a very good soldier, very good. And his operational success in Malaya was quite outstanding. But he wasn't what I would call a nice man. But he's still alive. And he went on to be a general and was knighted, but made himself unpopular in NATO. And at one point when we were in a rather difficult position, I think during the Labour government, early Labour government, he wanted to sort of whiff of grape shop down the streets was what he felt should be done. But I don't want to say any more about him. As his adjutant, I had a very difficult time.
Just finally, could you tell me something about what your own reaction to having done this interview is? Has it been upsetting or beneficial or neither or what?
Well, it has concentrated my memory and brought up things that perhaps I had not really thought about for a long time. It doing it has made me a little bit sort of anxious and recalling things that happen. I think the result will be that I shall think about them much more as a result of the interview, and perhaps remember things that perhaps I did wrong or were unfortunate or that I haven't really thought about for some time. But I didn't suffer any particular serious hardship in the war. It was the first casualties that really upset one, but after that one got conditioned like human beings seem to what's going on. And death and wounded people in the most frightful way left one relatively unperturbed. I think in the long run, you see, one always looks back as one gets older and thinks about things that, especially things you did wrong, rather than things you did right. And they are worrying, and you dream about them too. But
are you talking about errors?
About what?
Errors.
Errors, yes.
Or things that you didn't do as well as you should
well,
have.
Well, things what one didn't you do, took the wrong option, is where one sometimes, regrets always occur. But I can't ever remember taking the wrong option which caused damage or hurt to anybody else in the war. My own men? I don't think so. I mean, I have recurring memories of one of my men called Chandrabada Limbu, who was wounded at Kanpur by a bullet which went through just the edge of his skull. And he was taken to a little pagoda where we had the wounded taken. And I went to visit him. And he was calling for his mother, Amma, Amma. And I always remember that, and it upsets me when I remember that. And there are other occasions where perhaps one gets temporarily upset because you recall these incidences. But it hasn't worried, the interview itself hasn't worried me a lot. It's made me slightly, yes, going back does make one feel a little bit more on edge, shall we say. Perhaps that isn't quite the right word, but recalling those sort of times makes one feel a bit edgy. But I don't know that I don't think there'll be any effect on my future, because I don't suppose I shall, after, say, a week or two, I shan't think more about the war than I did before.
Do you think that now at your present age, which is about 80, I think,
yes,
that you're more inclined to look back on these events than you were, say, 30 or 40 years ago?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. It's really after you've brought up your children and after you retire from work and when you have more time to think that you start thinking much more about the war, for instance, and subsequent occasions which sort of high points of one's life. And I know my wife worries sometimes, what are you thinking about? I said, oh, I'm thinking about John. No, I'm thinking about, what was his name now? Peter? Yes, when he was blown up. And then one of the field ambulance men was blown up too. And so sometimes one just begins to get a little bit, obviously a little bit sad.
Peter was a brother officer, brother Gurkha officer in Burma.
Yes, well, you had four killed. You see, our second in command was killed in Mandalay by a sniper. He was standing next to the CO and he was killed. The other day I had a letter from his daughter. She'd never met him. And wanted to know about him and so on. And I told her what I could. And those sort of things also take one back.